Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice Dyer in the Magnus Protocol. As part of the Magnus Archive's 10th anniversary, Rusty Quill is hosting a special Magnus Live show at the upcoming Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Join co-creators Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell on the 5th of July for a new iteration of our live show, Statement Begins, where you can hear fan-favourite statements such as Anglerfish, Red Live, and gain exclusive insights into the creation and history of the show straight from the creators themselves. You can buy your tickets now, including limited numbers of meet and greet tickets, from crossedwires.live or the link in the description of this episode.
Hi everyone, it's Kareem, the voice of Simon Fairchild from the Magnus Archives. Today I'm here to advertise Beck's End, an upcoming new audio drama that will be launching on the RQ network. Beck's End is a folk horror audio drama about isolation, belief, radicalization, and poses the question if redemption is possible. When floodwaters swallow an idyllic English Lake District village, a stranded journalist finds herself trapped in a rising tide of fear. Cut off from the outside world, she begins to uncover horrors both human and biblical, lurking beneath the surface. If this intrigues you, you can support the creation of Beck's End on Kickstarter until the 17th of July. For more information on the show and to pledge your support, visit becksend.com. That's becksend.com. And you might recognize a voice here or there. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi everyone, Alex here. Just taking a moment to let you know that this episode's sponsor is the Stormlight Archive Volume 4, Rhythm of War, by internationally best-selling author Brandon Sanderson. The Stormlight universe is as wild as it is large. From the labyrinthine trench city of Yador to the constant shallows of the Pure Lake and the magic battered slopes of the Shattered Plains. Spirits and knights, scholars and demons, enchanted swords and even the gods themselves all march towards a magical showdown in this newest Stormlight Archive volume, Rhythm of War. This fourth volume ramps up the tensions that Sanderson began with his New York Times bestsellers The Way of Kings, Words of Radiance and Oathbringer, leading everyone to choose a side, and it's available to purchase right now. Search for Rhythm of War or visit the link in this episode's description and get started on your own epic journey, knowing that at the same time, you're helping to support your favourite horror podcast. Thanks.
Hello, everyone. It's Johnny. We're playing a game. What game, you ask? I don't know. Nobody asked me to do this like 2 days ago. So we're finding out together. hello, Larry. Sorry to throw you under the bus immediately. It is going to be a horror game, RPG, set in, well, we'll figure it out, with a title of Who Knows? And it's going to be using a system of my own design. So
the real horror is the unknown.
The real
and
horror
Johnny.
Is the unknown.
Oh, we solved it.
Yes, and I am bringing that horror to you all in your ears. Let us meet our players. So first up, there is Ben Meredith.
Hello.
Who are you, Ben?
I don't know.
we've done the horror of the unknown.
Oh,
the audience needs to know.
Oh, I'm Ben. I play Elias. I'd imagine you'd know that by now. I'm also in other podcasts, also by the Rusty Quill. Go listen to them. Thank you.
And next up is, to my right, in my mind, because obviously we are in fact miles and miles apart, is Lydia Nicholas. Who are you, Lydia?
I'm amused to start with. There was a lot of arguing about alphabetical order before this, and I should not have come at this point, so Johnny is already messing with me. Thank you, Johnny. The true horror is Mr. Sims. I am Lydia Nicholas. I play Melanie in Magnus, and I play various characters in Rusty Quill Gaming.
Okay, and finally we have Lowry.
Hello, I am Lowry, and I produce the Magnus Archives, and I edit Rusty Quill Gaming. It's great. Go listen to that as well.
Listen to it.
Also, Lowry is what you might think of as an Easter egg voice in Magnus. In that you could turn up sometimes.
Sometimes.
In roles here and there.
Just a hint of Welsh somewhere.
Yeah, sometimes we'll be like, oh, this role, it's just not Welsh enough.
Yeah. Sort of like Alex, you've actually done an impression of Johnny for pickups several times and no one's noticed.
Yeah.
But he's just a bit Welsh in this one. Don't know why. Probably the horror.
Yeah, what's actually a fun fact a lot of listeners won't know is that since episode 102, all my lines have actually been delivered by Lowry.
God, I wish I was that good.
We just twist them in post-production. Let's figure out what we're playing. So first up, we're going to need a setting. Where do we want the horror to occur?
Can it be somewhere warm, just because it's really cold?
Yeah, it could be somewhere warm.
Oh, I'm really hot at the moment, but sure.
Oh.
It'll involve less acting.
Right.
Well, so, yeah. Okay, let's split the difference. Go with somewhere, like, tepid, you know?
So London.
Okay. Somewhere just really temperate.
Like the horror to occur in a bath that I've left for 3 hours.
we could have a horror in a spa.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, sure, spa horror, why not?
An abandoned spa? An abandoned water park.
Ooh, an abandoned water park.
Very malarial.
Or an active water park. We'll see how things feel. So, adventure is going to take place in a water park, and I am now going to roll up the title because I have created entirely for my own amusement. This is not available through MacGuffin and Company, mine and Sasha's Games Company. It's not available anywhere except on my computer. I've created a cosmic horror sort of Cthulhu-esque title generator.
Do you know how much people would pay for that advertising space for, like, the thing that you're like, available on my computer? This cosmic
you
horror
can't have
title
it. It's
game,
mine.
It's really suitable for fans of the Magnus Archives and Rusty Quill Gaming, maybe Stella Firma as well, since you like a beat.
Yeah, it's mine.
I guess.
It's mine, Lid. You could, oh, okay. They can't have it.
Suitable for them, they can't have it.
I don't know, maybe I'll format it as a PDF. I'll whip out my graphic design skills.
You're going to need to let me know if you actually want to do that.
Put it in papyrus.
If I don't cut that out, there's going to be demand.
So I'm going to say, how many words do we want this title to be? Probably 3 or 4?
Yeah, I was going for 4 or 5, so...
Okay, let's say four, but one of them's going to be a preposition.
Yeah, because you want a Night of the Living Dead for a water park.
Absolutely, color. Absolutely. We want that. So, words we've got abyss.
Ooh.
Twilight.
Ooh.
And 75, soldier.
Oh.
Ooh. Which is unexpected, but interesting. And finally, our preposition is before.
This abyss before soldier.
Something like before the abyss of the twilight soldier or the twilight abyss?
The twilight before the soldier abyss.
Twilight of You know what? I'm not feeling the word soldier.
Neither
in this one because we're in a spa.
Yeah, we're in a water park.
Just having a nice day and then a Rambo pops out of a shed.
Yeah, I've decided to discount soldier because otherwise it's water park Rambo with cosmic.
We
horrors.
Are actually going for straight horror here. There may be absurd elements, but the idea that Rambo rocks up may be absurd, too absurd.
The new word is blind.
Ooh.
So it will be before the twilight of the blind abyss.
Ooh.
So we are playing the adventure. Before the twilight of the blind abyss.
Oh, so it's actually midday then, if it's before twilight. It's nice.
Well, I mean, to begin with.
Okay, gets darker.
And it will be at a water park. So, who do you all want to be playing? Let's have some character creation. You could be a water park attendant. You could be a water park attendee.
Mm-hmm.
Those are basically the options.
I think I would like to play an investigator from the Board of Health and Safety here to test the hygiene in the water park.
Brilliant.
That's nice. I was going to say I'd quite like to be the caretaker of the water park.
Caretaker, brilliant.
Are you wearing a rubber mask? Are we going to have to take it off at some point?
Yes.
And Lid?
I mean, I'm torn between either being management, who is deeply invested in not receiving a poor health and safety rating,
mm-hmm.
or lower management who are only mildly invested in that and also don't have any idea what's going on. Or a guest pretending to be one of the two.
Would you be one of those, a summer teen who's like got a part-time job at the water park?
Yeah. I could do that. But I'm trying for management, so like
a bootlicking summer teen.
An ambitious summer teen.
You really think that your summer water park job is going somewhere?
This is a career path, folks. Yeah.
Brilliant.
The serious summer teen.
Summer teen lifeguard.
Yes. Yes.
Lyd, I think you were a lifeguard in the last thing we played together in
Oh no, I was a lifeguard that
Bermuda.
Was afraid of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was comedy and that this was... is serious.
Yeah, this is definitely gonna be serious.
This is deeply serious.
I just really like playing lifeguard.
It's a serious horror in a serious water park with a serious blind abyss.
Twilight issue. It's got some really bad Twilight problems.
Oh my god, are there shiny vampires?
No, there are not shiny vampires. Shiny
serious vampires, Laurie.
Very, very matte vampires.
Can't believe none of you are taking this seriously. So, basic system, 2d6. Your standard target is an 8. It can increase to a 10 or a 12 if it's really hard, or go down to a 6 if it's very easy. You'll have four sort of traits, four aspects. If one of them is relevant, you can lower it by 2.
Mm-hmm.
You can also lower your target by 2 by essentially... I've stolen the Devil's Bargain mechanic from Blades in the Dark, which is if you negotiate a bad consequence with me, it will make it easier for you. You'll also have a couple of abilities that you can just... are things you can just do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is broadly hit point based. You'll all start with 7 hit points. If you take physical damage, you lose hit points. If you get scared, you might lose hit points.
Oh, no.
If you really embarrass yourself, maybe you'll lose hit points.
So this represents physical, emotional, and psychological strength.
Yeah, it's just how many hits you can take. Whatever form the hits come in, it's how many you can
take.
That's
quite real to life.
Cool, so if you insult us really badly...
Maybe it's a hit point.
Cool.
Yeah, and if you're out of hit points, you are incapacitated... as appropriate. Maybe you
run away,
leave
crying.
The party. Cry, yeah.
Maybe
you die. If you lose your last hit point, like wrestling the worm that resides within the earth and silently bides its time until it rises and wipes humanity from the face of its planet, then probably you die.
Then probably you run away crying because that worm has some real zingers.
It's been
thinking about cruel. Jibes.
Less the spirit of the staircase, more the spirit of the eternal void. Just spend 2 eons just sat in the centre of planet Earth being like, oh, I should have said... I should have said, you're the spineless one.
Yeah.
So, Ben, you're an investigator. How are you imagining him? How are you picturing or her or them?
I'll go with a bloke for now. And I think, I mean, we're at a water park. We're going to be pretty cookie colour, sort of schlock horror. So I'm definitely an uptight bureaucrat who has a vendetta against this park because I asked the owner out on a date once and they said no. So I'm going to close this. I'm playing that bloke from Bob's Burgers. The short
brilliant.
Guy. That's what's happened here.
So I'm going to give you the 4 traits: uptight, bureaucrat, probably vengeful.
Cool.
And let's say we probably want you to have a like good thing.
Science.
What's one good thing about your investigator?
I've got my water van. I've got science. I can test things. I can pH balances. You know, looking at are there any turds in the pool? You know, like a big magnifying glass for that. You know.
In which case, I'm going to give you the trait analytic.
Yeah, I've got my piss sonar. You know, all the standard water park stuff.
The thing is, you haven't really said any bad words.
Exactly. I love to skirt around it.
You've just been gross. Okay, what about you, Lyd? What's your summer teen lifeguard like?
I think I'm going to play a ditzy bloke.
Brilliant.
He's going to be sporty. He's going to look like something out of Baywatch.
Grand.
Is he a himbo?
So that, yeah, himbo bloke, but really, really like earnest. So I'm not kind of trying to, you know, hide things to protect management. I really believe in Mr. Calcifer, who's Mr. like Calphifer. Who's the boss.
Yep, brilliant.
Who I really look up to him. And I think that I've really got a career out here at the water park of the Twilight Abyss. No, that's not the name of the
park. It's called Slide World with a Y.
Slide World.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I really believe in that. I was earnest, truthful. I probably got, if we're thinking equipment in the way that Ben's got like analytical stuff, I've got like sports or like water safety gear. So, you know, I've got a whistle. I've got probably a life jacket.
Okay. What I've got down for you.
Yep.
Is your first trait is himbo.
Yep.
And I've also put earnest, yep, dedicated, and loud whistle.
Okay.
Ooh,
so, now, so cool. Not like strong or...
Loud whistle is a very specific one.
Does that come under himbo?
Yeah, I feel like himbo is like a very broad one. Like himbo's, I think, one you're going to be getting to apply a lot.
That's cool.
So I'm okay giving you one that's just like, you've got a whistle.
Yeah, cool.
So I don't want to shock anyone, but I'm pretty sure the owner of the water park is a skeleton because his name is Mr. Calcifer, and I refuse to believe that anybody who's not actually a skeleton...
I mean, you've seen him. He's very thin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and admittedly, he does wear like those big hats and those huge shades.
Mm. Yeah,
even in the winter. But crucially, you don't see him a lot.
That's just because he's had a lot of chlorine damage to his skin.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you dedicate yourself to safety and fun for all the family. He's taken a lot on himself, including serious chlorine damage. So he needs to like cover his skin because it's now got a skin condition.
Yeah, he was in a pool cleaning accident.
It was terrible,
years
tragic.
Ago.
It was. Yeah.
And he's never like he's been a bit of a recluse ever since.
It's really sad.
Mr. Leroy Calcifer,
yeah,
who runs Slide World. Slide World, obviously, the logo of which is like it's a very close up sort of abstracted cartoony face,
mm-hmm,
with a big splash behind it,
yep,
that's smiling.
Yep.
If you look at it too long, maybe it looks almost more like it's screaming. No, obviously they're screaming.
Oh, no, it's screaming
in...
with screaming,
yeah,
joy.
Screaming with joy. Because of the slides.
If you would like a picture of your experience going down the hell fall, we can arrange that. The picture doesn't always show up under normal lighting, but it's just because the machine's broken.
Ignore the extra people
brilliant
in the background.
Let's finish creating Lowry's character.
Yes, hello.
Your caretaker.
I would like access to infinite cleaning things.
Okay, brilliant.
I guess.
I'm going to say cleaner,
yeah,
as a trait.
Or like, you know, always able to find a cupboard of cleaning
okay
stores, you know?
Resourceful?
Yeah, sure.
You old as balls?
Yeah.
Old as balls. Are we allowed to say balls?
How old are balls? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I guess it depends
really
who they're attached
old
to.
They're
really old
as balls.
Really old balls.
Well, we've said it a lot now, so either there's going to be a lot of beeping or we're going to cut that out.
Well, no, we're talking about... No, but it's old as like this really old rugby ball I found.
This is true.
There's a football that's been stuck up the school roof for, like, I think, like 50 years. You know, it's made of that old
leather.
The first
ball was invented in 2003 AD. No, that's yes, the future.
17 years ago. Wait, no, 2003 AD is 17 years ago, Johnny. Do you know what time is?
17 is actually really old, and
oh,
you can
no
be very responsible at 17.
So the caretaker is old as balls.
Old as balls.
So like 17 years old, we think.
Yeah, has worked that their entire life, I would say. Knows the park inside out. And cares very deeply.
Okay, so what would be... Loyal, shall we say,
yeah,
for your last trait.
I think I'm quite invested in Lydia's character. I want them to take over my job because I see the because, you know, I need an heir because I am old
yeah
as balls. And who's going to look after the park when I'm gone?
I'm really sorry, Johnny. You were like, this is super serious and we've just reinvented Scooby-Doo.
It's fine. Scooby... Are you saying that Scooby-Doo isn't like,
true horror?
Proper horror?
It's going to be Scooby-Doo, but then like Shaggy just explodes in front
oh, no
of us, and
yeah,
it's just awful.
It's, oh, it's like it's going to be Scooby-Doo if Fred was lost to the abyss.
Oh, cool. Lid, you are
I'm
Fred.
In fact, my name is Freddy, not Fred.
Freddy, brilliant.
Of course,
I've put down Freddy with an IE.
Yeah,
I don't know why it just
that's...
feels.
Yeah, it's proper. Like with the wires and light is sort of it's more it's less responsible.
Absolutely.
I'm very responsible.
Ben, what's your investigator's name?
Gavin Crumble.
Oh, amazing.
Excellent.
I don't know why that's a work of art, but it is, and you so clearly know it.
Laurie, you got a name for your caretaker?
Ms. Pledge.
Ms. Pledge. Wonderful.
Freddie doesn't have a surname.
No.
That's not relevant.
He's like Cher. So, in terms of abilities, I'm going to say, Ben, you have the ability, it's in my truck. You can find any mundane piece of equipment by returning to your truck.
Cool.
And you can find any specialised piece of equipment if you also spend a hit point.
Cool.
Your truck is really badly organised, so getting anything from the back.
Yeah, it's really stressful. Laurie, you know the park like the back of your hand, which will be an ability called Back of My Hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can at any point declare a previously unknown section of the park that you are aware of, or like a secret passage or this sort of thing.
Yeah, I know a shortcut.
Yeah, if you spend a hit point, it is known only to you, and it is not something that other people in the park would know about.
Right.
And Lyd, your ability is also called Himbo. At any point, you can declare that your lack of understanding of something has granted you light immunity from it.
Okay.
If it is an imminent danger, if it is a legitimate danger, you will be required to spend a hit point to use that.
Okay.
So you have the final boy power.
Yeah. Just, it's all right. What? As the tentacles rise behind you, what? It's fine.
It's a weird octopus. It's all right. I saw it in an aquarium.
Yeah, Mr. Kelsifer said there were some new rides coming. And that I wouldn't possibly be able to understand how they would operate, so it makes sense.
So, finally, you all have 7 hit points.
Yay!
Woo!
Hooray! Your characters are complete. So, it's a quiet day at Slide World. You know, the midday sun is shining down, the water is crystal clear, except for the water in the Helldrop, which is artificially dyed a very sort of deep black.
That's a code violation.
It's... when a truck, well, a van, pulls up in front of the admissions, like the long admissions line, which, you know, it's not quite as long and quite as full as you'd hope for a summer day like this. But, you know, as we've established, it's quite a temperate summer day. So, it's, you know, late summer, almost early autumn. And out steps Gavin Crumble. Could you describe Mr. Crumble, Ben?
Yes. So, Gavin Crumble is 6'5", rake thin, has very, very nice hair, but it's almost certainly a wig. No one's seen it, but everyone suspects. And white guy wearing, you know, your classic sort of brown chinos, belted slightly too high. He's got a white shirt with a white short sleeve shirt with some pens in the top pocket. There's a calculator in there for no particular reason because his job doesn't really need maths. And he's got, of course, a clipboard and a biro.
1 water plus 2 water equals...
unsafe. And he's got a clipboard and a biro, which he is already tapping impatiently.
Okay. You see before you the admissions line for Slide World, leading up to a single kiosk where one slightly harried-looking young woman is sort of taking tickets and selling admissions.
Excuse me there, ma'am. It's a... We've got an improv...
You have to wait in line, sir.
No, I don't think you understand. I'm from the Department of Health. I'm the health inspector.
Oh, the health... Can I see some ID?
Oh, yes, of course. And he kind of gets this little plastic wallet with, like, the badge of the Department of Health on it and flips it open like he thinks he's an FBI agent. And it does have his ID in there, but...
Cool. I'm going to ask for a roll. This is not to see if she believes you. She does. It's to see if whether she thinks you're a tool or not.
Yeah, that's fair.
This will be a base difficulty of 8.
Can I use an ability negatively? Because I definitely feel like uptight doesn't help here.
I don't think. You know what? I'm going to say No.
Also, I guess that would just increase the difficulty, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's how the system would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so it's just 2d6 and trying...
I'll lower it by 2 because you're for bureaucratic in the sense that, like, you know, it's about whether she takes it seriously or not.
Oh, right, okay. So 2d6, I've got a 6 or over. Yeah?
6 or over.
That is a 5.
Oh.
That is a 5. She sort of looks at you. She's been chewing gum this whole time.
Oh, no, she's a teen!
And blows... a very indifferent bubble.
Oh, they're immune. They're immune to my ways.
She sort of stands up and she's like, I'll go talk to Mr. Calcifer. Wait here.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
And she leaves. Freddy, what are you up to at the moment?
I'm standing at the top of the Hellfall. If anything, I detract slightly from its spooky air because I shine.
Yeah, everyone...
just glow, really.
Everyone, just before they go into, like, the big ominous hole, they're, like, the line's backing up because everyone's just taking a couple of extra seconds just to kind of, like, stare at you and be like...
I kind of imagine Freddy to be, like... And this will sound weird, but... He's wearing, like, a Hawaiian shirt thing that's open over swimming trunks.
But the Absolutely. Thing
is, the way that I imagine them is sort of Ken doll-ish, so it's like shiny chest but no nipples.
Oh,
like I'm sure that they have like it's not that they're a clone, you know. It's not it's not that he's a clone. It's not that they've vanished as part of surgery or anything else. It's just because there's that Ken doll vision.
Like obviously you have
no. Well, like 17. I'm very nipples. Old. Obviously. He has nipples.
But they're just you know, sometimes you have those nipples that just kind of seem to blend into a chest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
some sort of combination of size and colour means that your eyes just don't linger on the nipples.
No. It's just something off. Aggressively wholesome. But, like, also, it's that, like,
I'm
the kind
this.
Of wholesome that's sort of problematic. Like, you just assume something, like, it's too...
Yeah, no, I'm also enjoying this because we were talking, we're like, oh, these episodes are probably going to be shorter than a standard Rusty Quill Gaming episode, and we've taken up multiple minutes talking about Freddy's nipples. We've taken up multiple minutes...
multiple nipples with Freddy's
multiple
nipples.
Nipple
multiple minutes.
Minutes
talking about Freddy's nipples. Anyway, yeah, they're all going down into the hell dive.
Yeah, so like the hell dive is
it's scary because of the water.
Yeah, the water that comes through has been dyed dark, but also there's a like cavern entrance and it's done up like a mouth, got big googly eyes. And so as you go on your rubber raft in, it's very dark, and then there's like some like sparkly stuff in there. It's like fairy light type things going down. The center, so it's all spooky. Yeah.
So the last of the current line, you know, of stopped, sort of being like, and gone down into the hell dive.
If you can imagine like all American but Blackpool, that's what's wrong.
Yeah,
there's something very wrong about that mix.
Also, I'm sorry, with the description, I just cannot imagine the opening of that slide not looking like the Cookie Monster.
yeah, but like slightly run down.
No, the thing is, at the start, it looked like a properly scary, like, demon face.
Yeah.
But by now, it is kind of run down to the point where, like, it could conceivably be the Cookie Monster.
But like a bedraggled... If Mr. Blobby and the Cookie Monster had some sort of god-awful offspring...
Oh, okay,
Ben, this is a light-hearted horror adventure.
Let's
be careful with the imagery.
Yeah.
And Americans, do not look up Mr. Blobby.
Google Mr. Blobby.
Do it.
And don't
quake.
Google Mr. Blobby.
Tremble.
Do it.
Okay. So anyway, Freddy, you notice... Like, it's now your break.
Yeah.
And you notice Liz from the admissions desk just standing off to one side, like just scrolling her phone.
Alright. Liz, is it your break? It's just because like you know that we're Mr. Calcifer cares about the attention you pay because
safety
violations.
There's a guy there, and I think Mr. Calcifer probably wants to know about him.
Oh.
Because he said he's from the health board. She continues scrolling.
Should I talk to him? Have you told Mr. Cat?
Yeah, I don't know where he is.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go help him find him. Yep.
Cool.
How about we do that? All right. You enjoy your break, but then as soon as it's over,
I will.
You because the queue is just backing up now. Is a
No. It's fine. I'm on it.
Yep. Yeah, right. Okay. You know, I believe in you. You'll get a gold star this week. I'm sure.
Cool.
Right. Where's it? Oh, okay. So over here, Freddy comes into, I suppose, the entrance area, and again, it's this kind of, it just like, like shining. Just somehow he doesn't oil himself, but somehow
just always gets he's out of like, bed.
I mean,
looking.
some people just
some people exude. Are just come. They
some
come
people sweat well.
You know? Yeah, some people sweat well. excuse me. Freddy has gone up to just a random old man. Excuse
yes.
me. Are you the man that needs to see Mr. Calcifer? I heard that there was an important official man. Well, Mr. Calcifer is very important. He's a very good boss.
My name is Algernon.
Hello, Algernon. That's good to know.
Coming to this park for my joints, you know.
Oh, right, that's very good. I would say there's...
The doctor recommended sliding down terrifying water slides.
Yeah, it's medicinal here. It's very, very health-inducing.
I will be the judge of how health-inducing it is. I believe you're looking for me.
Hello.
Oh, no, I didn't do it. Algernon starts to run.
Very fast for an old man.
Is this what did his joints in? Just
fleeing from any official.
Mr. Algernon, sir. Please don't run. There's nothing to be afraid of here.
It's slide too late. I'm very far away now.
Oh,
running
no.
in the water park. Well, that's a.
I'm running outside, away from the water park. I'm running away from it.
Oh. Water park is so scary that old men run away from it. Well, it's that's not, a violation.
It's not important. No, I'm not an NPC that will recur.
I think you just traumatised him, sir.
There's a figure, a 4'11" figure, lurking in the shadows, clutching a mop, wearing, you know, one of those house coats, floral house coats.
Yes.
That's the uniform of Miss Pledge.
That's amazing.
She's going to pull Freddy to one side.
Oh, Miss Pledge, can I help you,
yeah,
ma'am?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
This is it, right? I think this is your big chance. You see that man there? Very important man.
Oh.
He's going to have the power.
The power?
Yeah, the power to judge us and this park. And therefore, you and the job you have done so far. This is it, boy. This is time for your graduation.
Oh, good goodness. Mr. Calcifer said that I might get full time.
Yeah.
I know. Okay.
I'm so proud of you. Maybe do up a button on your shirt and treat that man well.
No, I don't have any buttons on the shirt. They just fall off somehow. I don't know.
Gavin, none of this is in any way subtle. You can hear every word.
Oh, I'm looking over my clipboard judgmentally at them.
Yeah.
Right, well, I'd better go and live up to my destiny then, Miss Pledge.
Boy, I'm behind you every step of the way. You leave that shirt with me later, and I'll put some buttons on it for you, okay?
I do put buttons on, but they just fall off. I don't know.
I know, boy. I sweep them up daily.
Just popping off as you're eating your cereal.
Yeah. The world just objects. But anyway. Freddy's used to being tall. I'm guessing there's just that entertaining air of, like, how Gavin Crumbull is actually taller than him, but still... somehow assume Gavin feels like he's looking up at him and it's irritating. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely taller, but I am definitely not as heavy.
Chunky musks. Mm-hmm. Chunky muscles. It's from all those picking stuff up and putting them down, which I do in different places, different ways. Anyway. Hello, Mr. Could I help you at all today? Showing you around our lovely facilities.
Yes, I suppose so. Getting one of the lower level staff to show me around means that there's going to be less shenanigans.
I actually work on one of the highest of our rides.
Yes, that's not what I meant, but sure. Yes, if you could start the tour right now, that'd be very good.
Right.
I believe in you, boy.
Cut to a nearby balcony. Where a thin fingers are clutched around binoculars,
that trace the path of Gavin Crumble, Freddy and Ms. Pledge as they enter the park.
I assume, is Ms. Pledge part of the group, or she following?
She's
kind of
following.
Behind, just glowing with pride. Yeah. I don't know.
Trying to be inconspicuous, because she thinks she still hasn't been noticed by Gavin Crumble.
So, Gavin, do you have a specific place that you want to start with, or are you just happy to let Freddy show you?
I would imagine, because surprise, surprise, I don't actually know how swimming pools keep their water not disgusting, but I think there's probably a big room full of machines with regulators and readouts and stuff, because people need to know this kind of stuff. So I want to
Absolutely.
Go there.
Oh, you want to go to the chemical rooms? Yes, yes, sir. We can show you around the back. We've actually got several hub sites in which we clean the water. The water for the hellfall is done separately, because that has to have the dye added. You don't want the other water to get dark, because that would be spooky. You don't want, like, the little kids to be spooked out when they're going around Splashy Splash Land or Fluttery Bye-byes.
Yes, and of course having opaque water means that it's very hard to see if somebody's in distress, which is, again, a mark. Right, let's have a look at that that hell ride water.
Fluttery Bye-byes, you pass Fluttery Bye-byes, which is it's for children only.
Yeah.
And it's largely because children are light enough that it rather than going into the water, it just sort of flings them out over this huge pool. And, like, it's meant to be that you can sort of flap your wings like a butterfly, but actually there's just children, like, tumbling through the air before landing in the water.
They've got the little rubber rings they're in have little colourful...
Oh, wings.
Fluttery things. So it's very pretty, but it is full of...
The thing is, the fluttery things don't actually work as designed. They don't flap. What they do is change the airflow, so the children just spin around gyroscopically.
Lots of screaming, lots of beautiful photos.
Yeah, but they're like, I mean, the kids love it, probably.
Yeah.
Mr. Calcifer hasn't really checked.
So as we go past, there's the screams of delight. You'll hear... We've got lots of safety around the park, just overflowing with safety, but not overflowing, staying in controlled flow safety. So with Fluttery Bye, and then we've got the spinning top, which you'll see is for the younger teens. And the log flume, which is a very slow. There's no fluming going on at all, really.
there's no actual log. The log flume is just a slide.
It's just a very slow slide. It's the sort of one where you find it that people find themselves like pushing themselves along.
It's advertised as a log flume because people love log flumes, but it's not actually a log flume.
That's for the more delicate of constitution. It goes slowly and gently. So you can actually, if you want to speed it up, walk along.
So you arrive at the metal door that leads down the stairs into the pump room.
So this is the
It
door.
Says on the front, caution, keep out, pumps.
is it we're not approaching twilight, are we? It's still quite light.
Oh, it's like it's mid-afternoon.
I'm guessing this is around the back of the flume, and so kind of shaded. There's trees planted around, because we don't want this sort of thing to stand out too much. Anyone that's played Planet Zoo knows that we need to keep the people away from the equipment room, or they get sad. So it says keep out, but that is for the public. Obviously, Freddy waves his ID. It's a picture of him. It looks like it was taken earlier this morning, like he's wearing the exact same stuff. He's exactly as oiled. His hair's going in the same direction. It's quite spooky. I will just swipe. Swipes.
The mechanical lock does not react.
Oh.
Hey, boy, use my pass.
Give me one second. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I think I have decided Miss Pledge believes she's invisible to people she doesn't want to see her, so she thinks you can still take the credit for all of this.
Yeah, you're a good boy. You'll never know.
Oh, thank you. Freddy comes up and shows the pass again, but now currently in a way
like it is a mechanical lock. Oh. It is like both you and Ms. Pledge have keys.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Freddy is panicking, I suppose, and so he's not realizing. Right. Can I roll Himbo to assume that whacking a mechanical lock with a pass actually makes it work.
Yeah, do it. Sure, you need a six.
I need a 6. Cool. Oh, Freddy did not roll high. Freddy rolled a 3.
You're just sort of waving the pass in front of it when a thin voice comes from behind you.
Do you need some help there, Freddy?
Oh, Mr. Calcifer!
Yeah.
I thank you so much, sir. You always know when I need help. Yes,
his thin
such a good
hand
boss,
sort of reaches past you and unlocks the door and opens it.
I'm sorry, we probably haven't been introduced.
I'm Freddy.
No. Yes, I know. Hello, Freddy. And hello, Mr. Crumble, was it?
Yes. Are you the owner of this fine establishment?
Oh, that's how he says yes sometimes.
Yes. As much as one can own water and what lurks within it.
I was more talking about the equipment that holds the water and the...
Oh, yes, I do own the equipment and technically the land.
Good.
Yes. You are making a report to your superiors?
Yes.
On the safety of the park?
Yes. Now, if you don't mind, this fine young gentleman is showing me around.
Excellent. No. I just... Yes, good. You take as much time as you need.
I will.
Just make sure that you spend plenty of time looking into the hell dive. I think you'll find it most enlightening.
The hell dive is the deep part of the hell fall. It's the scariest bit.
Right. Deep,
opaque water.
Yes,
of course, the hell fall. The hell fall, dreadfully sorry. I always
get the name confused.
So... Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy yourself, Mr. Crumble.
I will not.
And he sort of... it is sort of walking, but he sort of glides away.
Oh, that was him being particularly friendly, Mr. Crumble. You're very honoured. I've not had that many long conversations with Mr. Calcifer. He's a very busy man. So I'll show you through this door then.
And the long, like the weirdly long staircase going down into the earth towards the pump room falls away in front of you. As in, it stretches.
Oh, right, yeah, because I was a little
away.
Like
it doesn't
quite
fall away.
Early in
it stretches,
the day.
Yeah, no. It stretches so... away in front of you. And I'm probably going to call it there for this episode before we descend into the pump rooms that are probably definitely fine.
Yeah, that would be totally normal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just a lovely day at a lovely water park. Slide World. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. For more information, visit rustyquill.com, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, it's Kareem, the voice of Simon Fairchild from the Magnus Archives. Today, I'm here to advertise Beck's End, an upcoming new audio drama that will be launching on the RQ Network. Beck's End is a folk horror audio drama about isolation, belief, radicalization, and poses the question if redemption is possible. When floodwaters swallow an idyllic English Lake District village, a stranded journalist finds herself trapped in a rising tide of fear. Cut off from the outside world, she begins to uncover horrors both human and biblical, lurking beneath the surface. If this intrigues you, you can support the creation of Beck's End on Kickstarter until the 17th of July. For more information on the show and to pledge your support, visit becksend.com. That's becksend.com. And you might recognize a voice here or there. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi, Alex here, founder and CEO of Rusty Quill Limited. In case you haven't heard, there is now a Magnus Archives novel. The Library of Jürgen Leitner is set in the world of the Magnus Archives and written by Nebula Award-winning author Premi Mohammed with our very own Jonathan Sims. The story follows Hugh, a university dropout, desperate to find somewhere to belong and his new job at an esoteric library. The books he must investigate for the enigmatic Jürgen Leitner are not normal. because the library is not a vault, sealed and silent, but a hive, alive, buzzing, and ready to sting. The Library of Jürgen Leitner releases October 27th, 2026, but you can pre-order it right now in the US and UK from your local bookshop or by using the link in the episode description. If you live outside of the UK or US, you may be able to make an international order for this first publication, but it depends on individual retailers' shipping policies.